welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely fantastic day today. And just letting you guys know, I will be on the Hagman Report tonight. It's going to be a fun show. Got a lot of different stuff to talk about. And other than that, we're just kicking along down here at Health Masters. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I mean, I've gotten so much feedback from our show yesterday, and I don't know why in the world I was in such a sanguine mood. I guess it's kind of like this. I guess when, you know, you read some of this stuff and it's so negative, I got to try to make it a little bit more lighthearted and kind of joke around about some of it, because if I don't, it just gets too oppressive. And so yesterday my wife came in and says, "What are you doing, the Ted Brower Comedy Hour with Austin?" I said, "I don't think so." I said, but I did have some fun doing the show. In fact, Austin had to mute his microphone because he was laughing so hard. So if you missed yesterday's show, you need to turn that one on. I think you'll enjoy it. In fact, we had it posted on Steve Quayle's website if you want to listen to it. There's an article here from the H News Wire, and it's interesting. It says, "Christ is hated because sin is loved." And it says the term Christian phobia literally means a fear of Christians, but just as very few people are genuinely afraid of homosexuals, the literal meaning of homophobe, so are very few people actually afraid of Christians. When the Bible does speak of God's hatred, the object of his hatred is sin and wickedness. Among the things God hates are idolatry, child sacrifice, sexual perversion, homosexuality, and those who do evil. Proverbs 16:16-9 lists seven things the Lord hates: pride, lying, murder, evil plots, those who love evil, false witnesses, and troublemakers. And so, you know, why is Christ hated? Because, quite frankly, sin is loved. And it's sad to me that people really feel this way. But, you know, the existence of Christian phobia shouldn't be surprising. Jesus himself predicted the world's hatred for Christians. It says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before I hated you." I got to rephrase that. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Christians are called not to conform to the world, but rather to be transformed to the image of Christ. The unbelieving world hates what it does not understand, and therefore will hate those who follow Jesus. And you know, I see this. You talk about love, and you talk about being nice. The other day, I had a lady who was, this is funny, she's a Trumpy and a QE, and she's following Q and following Trump, and very, very, very naive. And we talked about that yesterday on the show, was what the real nature of the economy and the government and what Trump's really doing with the CFR members, etc. And I sent her, and she sent me this scathing letter. You know, one of our, well, she's not really a listener anymore, but she sent me a scathing letter because of the fact that, you know, we were, you know, talking about Q, and I was making fun of the, you know, the 45 million indictments that are not, well, that's right, it's 100,000. No, was it 200,000? Who knows? Who cares? And I was making fun of it on the show, and she got so mad and so angry, she sent me this letter. And I wrote her back, and I said, "Dear listener, so sorry we don't agree on this, but, you know, we need to realize that we need to agree on 90%. If we agree on 90%, well, you know, we get an A. And, you know, I agree with a lot of what you believe in, and you've told me you agree a lot with what I believe in. So, you know, I appreciate your support, and thank you for listening to the show." And she sends me this letter back, just basically starts screaming at me in the letter, all in caps, saying, "What's wrong with you? Why are you basically placating me? Why are you being nice? No, I know you're not being really nice. You're being mean, and you're some kind of, you know, fake aggression towards me." And I'm like, "What the heck? What the heck?" I mean, I was really being nice. And I learned a long time ago from Pastor Carl Strader at Carpenter's Home Church back in the 80s that, you know, when you have a hurricane down here in Florida, the bamboo will lay over for you. Then as soon as the hurricane's over, it'll pop back up, and a lot of times pine trees and oak trees will blow over and they don't come back up. And I've learned to choose my battles very carefully, especially as a Christian. You know, I don't want to have to precipitate conflict with other Christians. You know, years ago I was viciously attacked on radio for various reasons that I didn't really, because yeah, I used the word correctly, but it was a bad word. It wasn't a cuss word, it was just a word that was associated with the New Age. And I came back and I just apologized. I said, "I'm sorry, I should have done more research on that word." Even though the word was correct, I could have used a different one. See, we've got to learn to choose our battles carefully. If we don't, what we do is we stay in a constant fight. We're always in a fight, always in a cortisol-induced rage. And so this lady, basically, I responded back to her, and then I got an even longer letter, even more angry that I was still being nice. So I just deleted all of her messages, and I don't contact this person anymore, and I hope they don't contact me anymore. And the sad part about it is it didn't need to happen that way. The Bible says, well, the world would know that we're Christians because we love one another. So that means if I say something wrong sometimes, you guys don't agree with me. I mean, sometimes I have to admit, I'm not going to put some halo. I said, you know, if every once in a while I'll use a bad word. Sometimes I catch myself about to use a bad word on the air. So you say, well, you shouldn't use bad words. I know that. I agree with you. But every once in a while, I'll slip up. I also ate a donut a few months ago and a cookie, and I had a cup of coffee last week, and I did a lot of other things too. Probably thought something I shouldn't have thought and got mad at something I shouldn't have gotten mad of. And so, hey, that's because we're human beings and we're in a skin suit. And that's what grace is all about. It's called unmerited favor. You don't have to get good enough to become a Christian. You just have to accept the fact that God sent his own son, so you don't have to be good enough because he was good enough. And all you have to do is accept him. It's unmerited favor. You don't have to continually get better and better and better so you can start becoming a Christian. It just happens once you accept Jesus Christ into your heart. You start realizing there's certain things in your life that you probably just don't need to be doing or need to cut back on or whatever. So they'll know us by our fruit and also know us by the fact that we have one love for one another. He goes on to say, much of the Jewish and Muslim world, Christians are subject to extreme persecution. In many instances, especially with the Muslims, with Islam, it's flee or die or convert. That's it. We saw that with the Crusades. And most of the Western world Christians are looked down upon, mocked, ridiculed, and marginalized. Becoming clear that Christians who desire to live by their convictions will be ineligible for certain careers, for example, opposition to gay marriage is absolutely a biblical position. If a Christian stands firm in biblical convictions, any career that may possibly touch gay marriage is becoming off limits. Christian bakers, florists, venue owners, and government officials are being fined and even jailed for attempting to live by biblical convictions. Christian beliefs are being presented in an extremely biased manner. A belief that homosexuality is sinful is presented as hatred for homosexuals and sodomy. A belief that abortion is wrong is portrayed as a hatred for women. Christians proclaiming that the biblical way of salvation are declared to be intolerant, even hostile towards other beliefs. Christians designed to train their children in a biblical worldview are seen as guilty of brainwashing. And guys, this is the world that we live in. You know, everybody has got protection around them, yeah, except for the Christians. You can pretty much say anything you want about Christians, especially white Christians, especially white male Christians. And, you know, it's sad to me because if we did not stand firm and raise our children in the convictions that we were taught, we will no longer – it's like the gay Kenyon said. He said, you know, whatever this country used to be, it's certainly not a Christian nation today. Now, well, you know, that's probably paraphrasing the gay Kenyon because I really don't try to memorize anything he said. People send me all the stuff on him all the time and who he is and how communist he was, and I'm aware of all that. I don't even like talking his name. That's why I call him the Gay Kenyon, because everybody knows who he is when I talk like that, or his transgender weirdo wife. It's just all – you know I'm right, Austin. And all I'm trying to do is basically, you know, make people realize that, you know, they'll know you by your fruits, and we're to love one another. All right, that's enough of an intro, Austin. What do you have to say, bud? What do you think?
I like the fact because you don't call him by his name because it doesn't give him the recognition that he tried to achieve in office and what they've tried to do. Because you got to remember, when you constantly say somebody's name, it constantly keeps them in the media, constantly keeps them in people's minds. It constantly remembers who they are. That's why they tell you, as you get older, you always want to talk about memories. Past experiences, things you did, things you achieved, people you knew, places you went, family you had, because it constantly keeps those memories alive. If you don't talk about them and you don't mention them, they will dwindle from your brain. They've done research studies on that. Certain memories will just disappear, even if they weren't bad memories or good memories or just neutral memories, or sometimes they were great memories. They'll a lot of times just dissipate. So that's just my side note on that. But one thing I wanted to address real quick, and this is something that I realized the other day, because I watched part of the first Hunger Games again today, the first one, which is the most important one you have to understand, because I like to remind myself that that film, especially the first and second one, should be a stark reminder to anyone on why you should never, and I mean never, allow yourself to be disarmed. But that's a whole other topic. But one thing that I want people to remember that he says in that movie is probably one of the most important conversations that entire film as far as what it depicts, where the tyrant Snowd, basically the guy, the old guy, the beard guy that runs the whole thing, the tyrant, he's talking to the game master, and he goes, why do we have the Hunger Games? And the guy goes, I don't know. And he goes, wouldn't it be just as easy to take 24 people, round them up, and publicly execute them once a year? Be the same thing. They would die, and one of them would basically get the Russian roulette and not die. You know, just that's what it is. Just execute them. And he goes, we don't do that because there's one thing that you can do that is more effective than fear. He goes, fear is one of the most effective tools to control population. Fear. He goes, but there's one other thing, only one other thing that's more effective than fear, and that is hope. Hope. He said, if you don't have hope, then that is when you start having uprisings. When you have no hope and you're only bordered by fear, eventually the population starts to fight back because they have nothing left to fight for and all they do is live in fear. But if you have hope, a little hope is an amazing tool. A lot of hope is extremely dangerous, and it must be controlled and minimalized. This is what they have done with the entire Q movement. It has been designed from a psychological operation to give the American patriot groups hope. Hope that somebody is going to come down as a knight in shining armor in the government, the corrupt swamp that we see in Washington, and make everything go away. Put people in jail. Have 100,000 sealed indictments, haul Hillary Clinton off in shackles, have her go before a military tribunal, have her hung by the neck until dead. Everybody that's anybody in Washington that's ever been corrupt or is involved in corruption is basically going to be hung. And we're going to have this great cleansing of the United States government, and we have this hope because Q is constantly telling us what he's going to do, and he's going to use all this through Trump. That is why they have used it. Fear is the second most effective tool controlling the population, which they've gotten very, very good at. But hope is more effective, but it has to be controlled in a very, very minimal amount. This is why we have seen what they have done over the last couple of years. They saw with Obama, the only tool that was really going on was fear. People were kind of scared of what was going on, and the population was starting to wake up. It was starting to wake up. As you could see in the entire Trump campaign, you saw what rallied. That was not a Trump movement. That was a United States patriot movement that came together and said, whoa, we actually have somebody here that may be on our side again. We are going to band together. And that's what we did. I mean, look at the doggone voting records of the United States. Even as much as they tried to corrupt it and tried to pollute it and tried to turn it into their election, look at the whole country. I mean, huge swaths, almost the entire United States voted red. The most democratic, most idiotic places in the entire country voted blue, and those are the ones that had the most pull, and they still couldn't get it done. This is what we have going on, and we have to keep this movement going, because as we see this tyrannical realm go back into place, once they realize that we know there is no hope in Q anymore, and the only hope, the only true hope we have is in Jesus Christ, they know that the next step to bring back in is fear and control. And that is where, in my opinion, we're starting to fall into this next realm, because we're all starting to realize this whole hope and change movement that Obama brought in and Trump brought in and the whole clown circus brought in and the Q movement brought in and all this stuff going together now isn't working much longer. The population's waking up. So it's just something that I really wanted to kind of bring up here, because I watched that movie again the other night. Very, very openly. Obviously, there's a lot of propaganda in that that film. So you have to really understand what you're looking at. There's a lot of subtlety in it. You have to understand when you're watching it, but you also can watch it with a very open mind and realize that is exactly what the bankers have in mind. They want to have multiple districts of good little laborers that do their job. They mine the coal, they mine the grain, they mine the gold, they mine the diamonds. They do their own little work. Here, this is what you do, this is your job, completely separate from one another, so they can't communicate, and then they control everybody, and of course everything they do is either flying or trains in that film. If you notice that, there is no free transportation as far as being able to travel freely on your way via vehicle. That is where the goal is. Now, this is brings me up to my next topic and why it is so important that everybody start getting really self-sufficient in the next couple months, if you haven't already done so. J.P. Morgan told clients Tuesday the American agricultural complex is on the verge of disaster. He stated overall this is a perfect storm for U.S. farmers, J.P. Morgan analysis warned. He said they've now downgraded John Deere stock to underweight, citing fundamentals in the Midwest are rapidly deteriorating, and his downgrade was well-timed after Deere's earnings overnight, as Bloomberg reports that Deere & Co. is no longer cautiously optimistic and has been for so long, and they are on the downtrend. Now we see in California that they're reporting that the National Weather Service for San Francisco has said California will experience an unseasonal storm system that will bring 150 to 200% of its monthly rainfall to lower areas. When I talked to you guys about this at the beginning of the week, that California is now expected to get an unprecedented amount of rain. They're also reporting that higher amounts around Sierra Nevada could receive up to 30 inches of snow in the same amount of time. They also go on to say, and this is interesting because this is from the Daily Mail, and I'm going to quote this guy real quick because this really, really shows you what type of weather warfare they're implementing right now. It is believed due to a series of atmospheric rivers that are moving around California from the Pacific Ocean, sucking up water vapor from the ocean. AccuWeather is claiming that a complete block in the jet stream is pushing storms much further south on shore, which is keeping the Sierra Nevada and mid-California areas insanely wet. And I quote, this is what he says, AccuWeather senior meteorologist Brett Anderson, a block in the jet stream is forcing storms to take a much more southern route on shore of western North America than is usual for the mid or latter part of May. So this is what they're having going on now. Most of the stuff that is going on should not be hitting California. It should be going up north, but it's not. It's all going California and then pushing to the Midwest areas again. Now, you guys know Texas has gotten flooded. Oklahoma's gotten flooded. A lot of these places in the Midwest are completely flooded. Now, a new report comes in from Michael Schneider. This is interesting. It says 2019 is turning about to be a nightmare for the agricultural industry. Endless rain and unprecedented flooding of fields all over the middle part of the country are soaked right now. It's prevented many farmers from getting their crops in ground. At this point now, corn farmers are up against the wall because crop insurance final planting dates have either passed or are coming quickly. In addition, every day after May 15th that corn is not in the ground, farmers lose approximately 2% of their entire yield. Unfortunately, more rain is on the way now coming from California, and it looks like thousands of corn farmers will not be able to plant corn at all this year. It is no exaggeration to say we are facing a true national catastrophe. According to the Department of Agriculture, over the past 5 years, an average of almost 70% of all corn fields were already planted by now. The look at the total amount now, they're saying that just under 30% of the U.S. 2019 corn crops have been planted by last Sunday. Corn crop numbers by states, Minnesota only has 21% planted. Their five-year average currently is at 65% at this date. North Dakota, only 11% of their corn planted. Current date, normally on a five-year average, is 43%. South Dakota, only 4% of the corn is planted on a five-year average to date. They are normally at 54%. Many farmers are extremely eager to plant crops, but the wet conditions have literally made it impossible. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture Crop Progress Report, 11% of Illinois' corn has been planted and only about 4% of soybeans. Last year at this time, 88% of their corn was already in the ground, and 56% of their soybeans were already in the ground this time last year. We have not had a year quite like this before in history, as far as in recent history, with a population this high. The U.S. food production is going to be substantially below expectations this year. I highly encourage everyone to get prepared for a much higher food prices and uncertainty in the food market. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is, now follow me for a second. We see that we're having an unprecedented issue with food growth in the United States. Corn is huge, and I don't eat corn. I'm not a huge fan of corn, primarily because it's Monsanto, but understand, we use 10% of corn in fuel. 10% of corn is ethanol now. We also use corn in almost every single processed food, whether it's high fructose corn syrup, whether it's corn starch. I mean, you know the drill, and go down the list. Corn is used in just about everything, especially in processed food. Now we have import of grain, corn, all types of stuff from China. You guys know that. For decades now, we've been importing food from China, which still boggles my mind. I've never really understood that concept. But here's just a speculative question. Could all this be happening right now with the trade wars with China, the giant storms we're having, the massive flooding out west, all be happening at the same time for a reason? Once trade war with China goes full hot, imports are going to halt. Period. Exports are going to halt. Period. Everything's going to stop. Now, flooding and rain being at some point 70-year highs, I mean, breaking 70-year records in some part of the countries right now, at the same time, most of the U.S. reserve grain and food supply has been declining for years. Now we're seeing that the corn production in the United States is going to be virtually next to nothing. At the same time, we have a population growth almost exponentially because of illegal immigration, roughly 110,000 people coming to the border in the United States, just in the southern border, every single month right now currently. That is not even including the refugees that are coming into the United States from the Middle East. The population growth is growing at a rapid pace. At the same time, the food production is going through the floor due to all these other circumstances I just told you. And then, at the point that China goes to war with the United States in a giant tariff fight, which seems to be occurring right now, we're not going to have any food that we're going to basically import from China anymore. We're going to be on our own. Could this possibly be the beginning of the economic collapse that we have so much talked about? This is just speculation on my part, but these topics that I just brought up, the food, the water, the tariffs, all this, population growth, those are not speculation. Those are facts, and I want to bring them up because that's why right now I implore everybody, make sure you have adequate preparations. You have stored water. I've had a lot of people ask me about the water distillers. You put about 5 drops of our colloidal silver with about 10 drops of our Aquatrace in each gallon of water you make. Store it, set it and forget it, or cycle it and use it and back and forth when you need it, and fill it up and back and forth, however you want to do it. And on top of that, buy up some food, whether or not it's just bags of rice and store them and seal them, or beans, or our food buckets that we have, or going and buying canned food at the store. I highly suggest people are prepared. I can't say that any harder. Along with that, make sure you have your base supplementations on tap, whether it's your Ultimate Multiple Capsules, your cod liver oil, your cinnamon extract. I mean, I have a lot of customers that use cinnamon extract to stay off their diabetes medication because they don't need it when they're on cinnamon extract, and their doctor has told them, you don't need to take this medication if you're following this protocol. Do whatever you're doing. Make sure you have those things in place, because once this starts to occur, in my opinion, it's going to happen really, really fast. It's not going to be like overnight. I don't think it's going to be like an EMP. Could be, but I don't think it's going to be like that. Overnight, everything stops. But once it starts to occur, it's going to accelerate, because once the markets see what go on and all this starts to occur, the markets are going to go into a free fall. They're going to go into a free fall, and it's going to be nonstop. At that point in time, everybody's going to start trying to buy true commodities, actual physical commodities, take delivery of them. That's going to stop real quick once everybody runs out of actual physical delivery of whether it be corn, milk, potatoes, silver, gold, regardless. Everybody's just going to stop. They're going to pull theirs out of the market. They're going to say, I'm done. I'm holding. I'm stopping. We're done. We're not doing any deliveries. All that's going to happen real, real, real fast. So you need to understand what's starting to occur right now, what we see going on right now, and the fact that the globalists, the bankers, are realizing that hope is no longer an effective tool because a lot of the population is seen through the smoke and mirrors that they've tried to put on us for the last 2 years with the Trump rally and the Q campaign. And we're realizing now the Patriot movement is the only movement that is going to bring this country back to its constitutional values. And until everybody realizes that, it's going to be a rocky road, Ned.
You know, well said, Austin. Excellent, excellent, excellent rant. I can't say you're right any more than you're right. I mean, it's just amazing what you just did. And bringing the Hunger Games back into that again, I think that's probably a good movie for everybody to watch again. And that, you know, fear and basically beating everybody and shooting everybody, you know, it works. But then hope. Hope is what gives them that hope for the future. I mean, it says without hope, you know, everything feels meaningless. I mean, we have hope in the resurrection or the return of Jesus Christ as our Messiah once again. We had hope in the resurrection of the first century, you know, when the disciples sat there and waited by the tomb. I mean, you know, and we're, you know, in Jerusalem. I mean, we have hope. And hope is what separates us because you have a hope. Because hope is faith. Faith is believing in things that you don't see, knowing that they're real. And see, this is what we have to understand as Christians. We have hope in Christ. We have hope in our God. We have hope in a resurrection of our bodies back into heaven. We have hope of spending eternity in heaven. It makes all the difference in the world. It gives us hope. I mean, somebody said to me one day, well, what if you're wrong? I said, well, if I was wrong, let's say it wasn't real. Say if Christianity wasn't real, which I know that it is, if it wasn't, you know, where's the hope? There is no hope. There's no hope. You got a bunch of doggone blood drinking weirdos running the planet, and they basically want to kill you and eat you and do whatever they want to do to you and torture you and make you die, and inject you with all kinds of weird stuff, you know, and you're basically going to be slaves to them. What's the point? Then you go back to what Apple had to do with their suicide nets, you know, around their factories in
yep.
China who aren't Christians,
yep.
And they don't have any hope. They don't have it. They're working 20 hours a day or 18 hours a day for pennies on the dollar. And they're diving out windows and being caught in suicide nets because it was bad PR for Apple. See, that's why Christianity is different. It gives us hope. It gives us hope in a future, a hope in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, it really does. Also, this whole catastrophe that we have with the corn that's not being planted, it goes back to the weather modification that we talked about so much. I say to you, the same people who spray us with chemtrails and geoengineering are the same people who took down Building 7. Same people. The same people who want to put us in never-ending wars in the Middle East with extreme Zionists Bolton and Papio. I mean, extreme Zionists, both of them. I mean, same people. This is the same group. The same international satanic banking cartel that's run the planet for thousands of years. This is the same group. The synagogue of Satan. Jesus called them out in the temple, called them and told them they were the son of God, the son of Lucifer, the children of the devil. Same group. It hasn't changed because their hope in their future is in a world ruled by Lucifer coming back as their satanic Messiah. That's what their hope is in. That's why they want him back now. That's why they're pushing for the rebuilding of the third temple. And Christians just walk up to the guillotine and stick their necks in willingly and voluntarily, like, oh, this is okay, this is great, this is cool. No. We don't need any more sacrifices for our sins. That's been done already. You need to read the Bible in Hebrews and try to figure that out on your own. By the way, yesterday we talked about Monsanto and how it had a hit list of influencers in Europe and paid off key cancer researchers. I mean, this is something that these guys have been doing for years and years and years. The Bayer and Monsanto, the formerly merged company of potentially two of the evilest corporations on the planet, are now under fire for keeping a dossier of influential people such as journalists in France. And according to Monsanto, they did the same thing across Europe and the United States. French prosecutors allege that Monsanto kept a file of 200 names, including journalists and lawmakers, in hopes of influencing positions on pesticides. The investigation was opened after newspaper Le Monde filed a complaint against alleging the bribery. Years ago, I'm not going to mention this because I don't have the documentation for it anymore, I was talking about aspartame a lot when I was doing my radio talk show. This is back in the 90s. This is 25 years ago. And I had a group of people from a major corporation. There you go. Hey, like, how do you like the way I did that segment? They wanted to put me on the advisory board as a paid position for a really large corporation if I stopped talking about certain products. And I tell them, no, I'm not going to do that. Guys, pound salt. Hit the road, Jack. Don't look back. I'm not going to do that. And I thought, this is crazy. I mean, they're actually coming in and doing this. Now we're seeing it. Come here, right? They're talking about this corporation, this bribing people. I mean, this is crazy stuff here we're talking about. And then on top of that, years ago, I did a show with Kathy Fountain. It was the Eye on Tampa Bay. I believe that was her name. No, it was Kathy Fountain show. And it was a CBS affiliate at that time back in the 90s. This is when all this was going on. And I came in and I did the top 10 foods never to eat. We had a huge market share. I think it was a 37% market share of the 13 or 14 Tampa Bay counties. And they asked me to come back 6 months later, but they told me that I could not talk about aspartame. That basically Diet Sodas had contacted them and Monsanto had contacted them and told them that in the event that I mentioned that again on their show, that they were going to yank their advertising and not pay them for basically doing their Diet Soda commercials anymore. I kid you not. Guys, I was in the middle of all this mess, right in the middle of it all with Monsanto. And then right after that, they came out with a group of people. They were called the Investigators. And they actually started working on Monsanto's bovine growth hormone, which has feminized the population of the United States as far as the young men and boys and et cetera. And they basically did a whole expose on Monsanto and what it was as far as the corporation and what bovine growth hormone was and how it had contaminated the food supply with female estrogens. And, of course, they were again told by the Monsanto attorneys that if they aired the show, they would be sued into stubble, rubble, or whatever you want to call it. And they didn't air the show. In fact, the people that did the show, the Investigators, they actually filed a complaint and were promptly fired. And you can watch that whole video on YouTube and what happened with all of that. That was Channel 13. I believe at that point they were a Fox affiliate, but I don't remember anymore. Maybe still would have been CBS. But this is what these people do. And you have to understand that this is an evil corporation, Monsanto was, and it's something that has put a lot of poison into the ground. Like Austin says, the stuff doesn't dissipate. It prevents you, if you eat this stuff, from absorbing specific nutrients because it affects your uptake of the nutrients in your gut, just like it uptakes the effect of the absorption of the nutrients in the plants, which causes a deep-seated mineral deficiency in you, and you end up getting sicker and sicker and sicker. You know, it goes back to the German word. Of course, the Germans would have to come up with this word. Only Germans would come up with this. Schadenfreude. And that's S-C-H-A-D-E-N-F-R-E-U-D-E, if you want me to spell that for you. Schadenfreude. And what it means basically is your pain is my gain, or I take great pleasure in your demise. Anything bad that happens to you brings me great delight. Can't believe the Germans came up with that word. It's awful. But it's a word that is used a lot to describe the globalist, elite scum, satanic, blood-drinking, weirdo scum who rule the planet. They have Schadenfreude. If they know that a person is going to be abused by their product, they don't care as long as they make profit. It's all about taking joy in the sadness and the misery of other people, and that's who these guys are. That's what they do, and that's what they completely and totally do all the time. By the way, the Trump administration, to put out some more hope porn, I guess we can call it hope porn now, is reportedly ready to use Insurrection Act to root out and boot out illegal immigrants. Complete and total lie. Listen to my show yesterday. They're not going to use the Insurrection Act to root out and boot out illegal immigrants when the military itself is taking over the influx of illegal aliens and helping them to fly to different cities and country states around the country to be distributed into our population base. I mean, Trump's commander-in-chief, right? Well, probably not. He probably doesn't control the military. He's supposed to, but I don't think he does. And so if he really was commander-in-chief and he could use something like the Insurrection Act in the military to come in and do all of this, he would have already done it. Didn't he file an emergency executive order to control the border and build the wall? Oh, that's right. He did do that, didn't
and
he?
And shut the border down.
He could have done it if he didn't do it. Didn't do anything, Austin, he didn't do anything. Why? Because he didn't want to do anything. Because his handlers have told him he can't do anything. So when you see out stuff like that, Trump's going to do this and Trump's going to do that, that's back to Q. Just back to Q. By the way, speaking of fructose, high fructose corn syrup and the reduction of corn crops in this country, this is interesting. So now it's been found that people who consume large amounts of fructose are more likely to develop all kinds of diseases because the sweetener affects numerous genes in the brain. And it's what they're finding, these different pathways are directly affecting the brain and the memory, and it can actually cause an increased risk of senile dementia. I mean, we're finding some major problems here on fructose and what it's doing to the brain and long-term-wise causing so many people to be so sick. By the way, new article just came out and said that the millennial group, not the millennial group, it's the ones that got born like, well, Austin's age, guys, from like, you know, 25 up to 40 now, I believe it is, they are being besieged right now by chronic illnesses. This is from age 27. They say it's all downhill. Now, why is that? Why are there so many people, the generation between the early 1980s and the mid-1990s, that are so sick, that are unprecedented levels of mental and physical illnesses? Over half, 54% of millennial respondents reported having been diagnosed with at least one chronic illness or disease. According to a report released in April by Blue Cross Blue Shield, millennial sharp decline in health begins around the age of 27, and it stands in stark contrast to the health of the preceding generation, Generation X, born in the mid-60s. For 8 of the 10 health conditions, millennials are experiencing double-digit increases in prevalence compared to the Generation Xers experiencing the same ages, although 4 of the 5 millennials ironically perceive themselves to be in good or excellent health. Now, what the ironic of all of this stuff is this. We've got to realize that a lot of this is being caused from the millennials being the first generation that started getting the really upbeat immunizations because of Ronald Reagan and the vaccine compensation funds and the Vaccine Protection Act. I mean, we know now that Reagan in 86 turned the spigots loose. And now we have all of these children who are now adult men and women who have all kinds of chronic health issues because they've been vaccinated literally to death. You think, whoa, yeah, that's a fact. And guess what, guys? The vaccine schedules have increased and increased and increased and increased now to 76 vaccines, including Gardasil. And so what's going to happen here is that this generation is going to basically be the sickest generation we've ever produced. And this is exactly what they want. Why? Because what it does, it allows the globalists to continually reduce the population growth of Christians in the United States. That's what they want to do. Now, ironically, Emily Ratajkowski, she basically states, with the highest proportions of black women using abortion to protect the prison industrial complex. What did she just say? She's saying now that this Alabama law that was being done to stop abortion in Alabama is being used to discriminate against blacks. Listen to this. Listen to this sick, twisted logic. She's saying that more blacks get abortions, and now since they can't get abortions in Alabama, that now they're going to feed the prison industrial complex with young black men who are hoodlums, thieves, butchers, rapists, you know, drug addicts, etc. Now, if a white person had said something like this, or a liberal or a conservative had said something like this, which is a complete and total lie, they would be stuck into basically a never-ending cycle of you are an extreme racist. But she got away with it. Now, the crazy part about this is what she's saying is this. Black women have no hope having black children who aren't going to be in prison. Therefore, black women need to abort their children so they won't be in prison. Therefore, black women who aren't allowed to abort their children are being preyed upon and are basically being taken away, having the rights taken away from them to avoid having children in prison. What kind of sick, twisted logic would someone come up with that? So it's better to make sure you kill your baby while it's in your womb then to go ahead and have it turn into a prison complex, attainee that basically will be working for the prison industrial complex. I mean, I've heard some sick, twisted logic in my life. I mean, some sick, twisted stuff. I mean, I don't like reading a lot of sick, twisted stuff. I kind of stay away from it. But this is something that she says. I mean, I'm going to read it to you again. It states that enforcing abortion restrictions are disproportionately hurting black women in order to perpetuate the prison industrial complex. I mean, I don't know what to say. I guess she really believes, as a liberal, that all black women are going to have black thugs as children, and they should be allowed to freely kill their black children as quickly as they possibly can to basically prevent them from becoming hoodlums. I don't even know. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you tell the United States government it's Lyndon Johnson's fault that caused a lot of this stuff, the Great Society program. I was here, I remember that, I'm in my 60s, when he was going to knock out poverty in the United States, and he started paying people to have babies who weren't married. That's right, we did that. The federal government, that great Democrat piece of garbage, Lyndon Johnson, who was directly involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, in my opinion, and it also dragged us into the Vietnam conflict to bring in drugs out of Southeast Asia. Yeah, that Lyndon Johnson, that filthy foul mouth guy from Texas, that Lyndon Johnson, he basically dragged us into this ditch, did the whole thing with everything as far as the Great Society program, and gave women an incentive to have sex with as many guys as they want. Never tell anybody who the daddy is, if they even knew who the daddy was. Make sure they didn't know who the daddy was. Have as many babies as they can. And this is black and white, by the way. This isn't blacks. Black and white. And Hispanics. Same thing now with Hispanics over here. Why don't we cut that junk out? Why don't we cut that junk out instead of promoting abortion? Why don't we just tell people, hey, maybe we're not going to pay for the babies anymore. How about that? How about you need to get a job? How about you need to use birth control? How about you need to just kind of use some restraint when you're having sex so you don't get pregnant? How about that? How about that? Now they're saying they want men who are basically white Christian guys to undergo vasectomies and not having the ability to reproduce children anymore because we're not going to have we won't be able to get a woman pregnant that way, and they can't get an abortion because of the state. I mean, what kind of weird twist? 60 million babies murdered. 60 million. What a gigantic, druidic human sacrifice that is over the past, since 1973 with Roe v. Wade. And these guys never can get enough of their bloodlust. Austin, what do you think? Austin, are you there, my young son?
Yes, I'm here. The one thing that I have brought up repeatedly, and the numbers speak for themselves, is that if the American government was actually interested in reducing the amount of out-of-marriage, you know, out-of-wedlock children, and the issues with the poverty in the American industrial EBT system now that has gotten so big, and the welfare system, the whole system, they would put a cap on how many kids you can claim as dependents for child refund checks when you're unmarried. Ooh, that's a topic right there a lot of people don't talk about. Why is it that a single mom can claim 8, 9, 10 kids and not just get subsidies or free food, but get $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 refund checks back? That's a topic that a lot of people don't want to talk about. If we want to stop increasing and feeding the welfare system, stop giving people incentives and motivation not to get married and to keep having more kids when they're not married. That is what they have done, and quite frankly, it's been done intentionally. As you can see exactly how the population growth curve turned as soon as Dad talked about when they brought in this welfare system, as soon as we started penalizing people for being married, you pay the marriage penalty tax, you income tax rates go up, all these things go up. But if you're a single mom and you have four kids, shoot, you get a $15,000, $20,000 refund check back at the end of the year, not including if you've worked at all, not to mention you can apply and get granted any housing grants, any food grants, any free tuition grants for college. I mean, just about anything you'll pretty much get handed for free. Now, I'm not saying having four kids by yourself as a single mom is an easy task. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is we give people and incentivize them to have more kids and not get married. If you think that doesn't increase the welfare system, if that doesn't increase the prison industrial complex system, if that doesn't make the entire aspect of having derelict fathers that don't run around, I mean, I've been told before by numerous people that have been in these programs as far as that have had to work in it. They say they'll tell the dads, make sure you're not here in the middle of the month. We have somebody coming over from the welfare system. We make sure we have somebody coming in. You can't be here, or whatever dad is around at the current time. We can't have any man in the house. We don't want any father in the house. We want to make sure that, you know, we have 3, 4 kids from 3, 4, 5 different dads, you know, however many kids there are, and we want to make sure you're not here, because if you're here and they come over and they see that and they say there's a breadwinner in the house, they're going to reduce our money. But see, a lot of times That doesn't matter. They'll still get more money. So this is the concept that people have to understand. Stop feeding the system. It's a very, very easy fix. It's not difficult to figure out. Stop spending almost $50 billion a year just on food stamps. Start telling people, hey, guess what? If you want to procreate and have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids, you're responsible for them. That's the concept that nobody wants to talk about. And so if you also, too, want to go and have unprotected sex, there's consequences. To it. You should have the ability to go run around. And I think this is the concept that we have lost in the United States, is A, self-sufficiency and self-reliance, and B, consequences to actions. Those are two things that have lost the American psyche. They're devoid. They're no longer there in most of the population. Back just, say, 100 years ago, the turn of the century, the early 1900s, you were always your own problem. If you wanted to have 3, 4, 5 kids, that's good. That's great. You got to feed them. You got to clothe them. You got to work. You got to take care of them. That was your job. You as a parent, you as a family, you took care of your kids. But as soon as we start saying, no matter how many kids you have, we'll just keep giving you free money, and we'll give you free tuition, we'll give you free housing, we'll give you free cell phone, we'll give you free food. You got as many kids you want. Don't matter. There's no cap. 8, 9, 10, 12 kids. I mean, you guys even see the report on ABC News they did. I think it was 8 or 9 years ago. And they talked about how illegal immigrants were filing tax returns with fake Social Security numbers and putting down a dozen dependents, and they reported it, and some of the people actually investigated it, and they found out there were no even dependents in the state, none in the country. The trailer that they registered the Social Security card and filed the tax return to was bogus. They were turning around and filing tax returns, getting $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 income tax refund checks back, and there was nobody even in the country that was legal. The kids that they were claiming as dependents weren't even in the country. This is the giant complex that the globalists, the bankers have been created intentionally. Also, to another news, speaking of what was going on in the foster care system, I've told you guys so many times, the foster care system, as we've even reported and we've seen, you know, firsthand with a lot of the intel that comes up, the foster care system is one of the first lines of child trafficking in the United States now. The amount of children that disappear out of foster care and are sexually abused and trafficked is horrific. And so I don't want to go into all the days. We don't have enough time. I've talked about it before. But we are now seeing that attorney Michael Dolph has now come out now, who represents children in foster care, and he's referred to the U.S. foster care as a system set up specifically to sex traffic American children at the taxpayers' expense. How horrible is that? A new bill that is being proposed now federally is going to double the funding for the U.S. foster care system. Yes, you heard that right. U.S. Representative Karen Bass, of course, Democrat out of California, has joined colleagues in the House of Representatives and the Senate on May 14th and introduced the Family First Transition and Support Act of 2019. This bill is going to more than double the amount of money the federal government forks out to states for foster care reimbursement each year. Even worse, the bill will remove the only small break from what is less of a runaway train, essentially, what we've seen with the foster care system, and now essentially give unfettered funding, unfettered access, and carte blanche immunity to foster care systems. The current system of child protective services and foster care is so corrupt it can't even be reformed, the attorney says. It needs to be abolished. Allowing states to collect even more federal funds for foster care is moving in the wrong direction. It is only going to lead to an increase in child sex trafficking. So sad, but so true. That is what we're seeing now in the United States. And again, nobody wants to talk about a lot of this stuff. Nobody's talking about what's going on in the Middle East. Nobody's talking about what's going on in the Midwest with the food. Everybody wants to argue about having the right to execute your unborn child in Alabama. The fact that this is even a media topic boggles my mind. The fact that they're now having this huge argument and everything on the mainstream media just goes to show you this is being used again as bread and circus for the masses to start needless debates. There shouldn't even be a debate about executing your child. You have a responsibility if you have a child. You have a responsibility to raise that child, to keep that child, to protect that child, to love that child. That's God's gift to you. It's imparted with a soul from God Almighty. society, having the ability to legally execute that child, there's no grounds that land on that. So if Alabama state law wants to pass that, that's fully within their right, and I fully agree with them to do so. Just like New York, they have the state right. I do not agree with them with the ability to have full-term abortions and post-pregnancy abortions, if the abortion's botched, to still execute that child. But that state voted on it, and they put it in, they didn't vote on it. De Blasio or whatever idiot Cuomo put it in the law. These are things that need to be addressed. And of course, that was oh, that's the state rights. They can do whatever they want. It's the state's rights. They can do whatever they want. Now, all of a sudden, Alabama does it, and everybody goes, they don't have the right to do that. They can't tell women what they can do with their bodies. They can execute children as much as they want. You can't tell them they can't. Like, which one is it? It's state law. They can do whatever they want. In New York, whenever they decide they want to execute babies full term, Alabama says, no, we're banning abortions. And all of a sudden, they say, you can't do this. It's so ironic to me, the sidestepping that we see all the time. Also, too, I thought this was interesting. In Illinois now, Illinois Highway Patrol are now starting to do something that's unprecedented. Before I go into that, I want to talk real quick. I was going around the lake this morning on the way to the office, and of course there was PD, local police department, tucked around a corner, shooting laser. Of course, I've had multiple trucks that I know, they flashed me their headlights, let me know he was basically shooting. It's a 35-mile-an-hour zone. It's ridiculous to be shooting a laser right there. But he was. Of course, nobody got hit. You know, nobody got pulled that I saw, because we all flash each other all the time we see cops, because that's our right to do so. And anyways, I just thought that was interesting, because, but again, he was in a marked vehicle, so I mean, whatever. He wants to try to set up a trap on his own and run a radar and catch people if they're speeding, and he's in a marked vehicle. I really don't have a bit of a problem with that. It's my job to deflect it and not get caught, essentially, and do the speed limit. Well, what they're doing now, this is unprecedented in Illinois, and there's already lawyers that are trying to address this as far as from a law standpoint. Illinois now is showing how far police are willing to go to give people tickets. Cops in Illinois now are using construction vehicles and construction outfits as cover to radar individuals in Illinois in speed traps. I kid you not. Police are donning construction worker equipment with radar detectors and pulling unwitting motorists over by the dozens, claiming, of course, it's for their safety. They go on to say, it's not about writing tickets, Illinois State Trooper Jay Wilson said. It's not about pulling people over. It's about keeping people safe. Police departments across the country now are dependent on issuing traffic tickets for their survival, as you guys know. As a result of the reliance on revenue collection through traffic citations, countless police departments in America are caught enforcing ticket quotas, despite that being illegal. What's more, tickets issued in construction zones are highly expensive. Average one is usually about $400. Second traffic ticket in a construction zone is usually about $1,000. Up until they decided to go undercover, police were parking their actual patrol cars near construction zones, which actually slow traffic down, as it always does. They have their lights on. They slow down, because I understand. You guys got construction workers out there. They don't want to deal with people flying around them at 90, 100 miles an hour. I get that. So they put their cars out there, and of course, nobody sped. Everybody slowed down. Construction zones, state trooper, lights on, everybody slows down. Well, what they found out is they weren't writing any tickets in construction zones. So they got the idea, instead of stopping people from acting like idiots, they were not going to put any cop cars out there and put them in unmarked construction vehicles, radar them, set up a trap a half a mile ahead, and pull them over one after another, one after another, one after another, one after another, in dozen intervals, as I've seen happen before down here in Florida. And of course, they've issued tons of tickets now. They're saying now in the United States, the total number of people who are speeding tickets only is 41 million a year on average of $152 each. That's one in every five licensed drivers in the United States gets one speeding ticket per year. If you just averaged $152 per speeding ticket and just counted speeding tickets, no other citation, speeding tickets alone generate $6.2 billion a year in traffic generated tickets. tickets and speeding alone. Tack on seat belts, license plate, window tint, rolling stop signs, expired state mandated documents. The numbers skyrocket. Police, we are told, are here to keep us safe and protect us. However, public safety often takes a back seat to collect revenue. But I thought I would just add that in there now, how much money these officers generate. And now, of course, bringing a vehicle, a cop car, and parking it with the lights on a construction zone, that slows people down and that makes the situation too safe. They want to make sure they put people in ticket situations and can give them tickets. So now undercover construction vehicles with radar traps are now in Illinois, thanks to the great police industrial complex that we now have in the United States, Dan.
Two words, ticket clinic. Group of attorneys around the country who take on your case for $100 and pretty much get the points adjudicated pretty much 95% of the time. And so you don't even have to go to court, you know, to deal with it. You still got to pay the fine, but you don't get the points, which jack your insurance up. And you don't have to deal with it. You just give the license, be nice to them, send it to the ticket clinic. The other day I'm coming home, I'm doing like 83 miles an hour in the middle of nowhere on a deserted road in the middle of a phosphate mine. I mean, in nowhere. I mean, nobody around me. I'm the only one on the road except for the sheriff who met me, you know, coming in the opposite direction. And he clicked me and pulled me over. And basically it was, you know, very, very abrupt, very, very direct, and very, very quick in writing me a ticket and being gone. And on the way home, I just called the ticket clinic and said, take care of this for me. And now, if you're a habitual ticket offender, I mean, if you're getting tickets all the time, more difficult, especially in rural counties, to get the judges to drop those. But, you know, a lot of times it works very, very well. Make sure you check your local area and check to make sure they're going to give you good service. That's my opinion. I'm not giving you legal advice. Here's seven reasons why you should eat coconut oil before going to bed. This is important. This is MCT oil. We have it at the office. It's a great product. It makes you feel revitalized when you wake up. It helps your skin stay healthy. It's really good for your health and for your brain. It helps you get a good night's sleep. It may actually help you lose weight because it helps to really burn belly fat. It helps retain lean muscle mass, and it helps to ward off diseases. This coconut oil is light and easy to digest. You're less likely to encounter problems related to indigestion. In addition to digestion problems, it can also protect you from viral and bacterial infections. It is believed coconut oil can strengthen the immune system and prevent diseases such as influenza, Epstein-Barr viruses, herpes, and candida infections. I am not making that claim. But it's a great product. I take it every day. I put about an ounce into my protein shake. Absolutely love it. And I tell you what, guys, it doesn't affect the taste of the shake at all. In fact, it makes it a little bit better as far as I'm concerned. It gives it a better texture. Guys, I love you. I prayed for you this morning. Have a wonderful weekend. Make sure you listen to Austin tonight on Hagman. Very, very important. I appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for your support. Thank you for allowing us to bring this show to you commercial-free. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. I love you. Austin, I'll do the write-up. It's all you, bud.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you for the support and to let everybody know that GHI Cleanse on sale for product of the week. And we have the organic CBD oil back in stock by popular demand. We got a huge batch of it finally cleared. We got all the numbers back on it. Everything came in perfect. So we have a brand new stock, brand new batch in stock ready for you guys at healthmasters.com. Be sure to check it out. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for your support. I'll talk to you again on Hagman's show tonight, and have a blessed, safe weekend. And we'll talk to you again on this show Monday morning, as always.